This is the story of three people of the early 20th century, Sir Arthur Evans, Alice Kober, and Michael Ventris, and their discovery and decipherment of an ancient writing system known to us as Linear B. The story begins in the late 19th century when Arthur Evans was a young British archaeologist and came into contact with several artifacts from the Isle of Crete, inscribed with what he believed to be an ancient script. Evans had been born in 1851 in Herefordshire, England, and while he was not of the nobility or even of the gentry, he appears to have never wanted for a cent at any point in his life. He was something of a failure as a student. He failed his exams at Oxford, but was something of a professor's favorite and was awarded an academic prize. Later on, he was made the curator of the Oxford Archaeology Museum, the Ashmolean. His professional career really took off when he was on the traditional grand tour of the continent and was arrested in Ottoman-controlled Bosnia under the suspicion of being a spy. It seems unlikely that he was a spy at this particular point, but he later secured a job as a columnist for the Manchester Guardian, where he became something of a hawk on the Ottoman question. He repeatedly argued that the British Empire should apply pressure to force the Ottoman Empire to withdraw from Europe and from Crete in particular. The Ottomans did withdraw, and Crete became a republic. As soon as the Ottomans were gone, Evans sprung into action and purchased a bunch of land around the port town of Knossos, specifically land surrounding a large flower-covered hill nearby. He was in this enterprise greatly inspired by the model of Heinrich Schliemann, the 19th century German businessman who excavated an Anatolian Bronze Age city that he argued was the ruins of Homer's Troy. Within a few months, Evans' local laborers had uncovered what came to be called the Palace of Knossos. According to the Greek myth, the Labyrinth of the Minotaur was located at Knossos, and the palace has many long winding corridors connecting around 1,000 different rooms. During these excavations at Knossos, as well as later excavations at other sites, numerous inscribed clay tablets were found. As far as we can tell, nearly all of the surviving tablets were stored unbaked in gigantic wicker baskets that were burnt in a catastrophic fire that also destroyed the palace itself. The last round of fires appear to have occurred at the end of the Aegean Bronze Age, roughly 1200 BCE. This era saw a host of civilizational collapse and destruction of cities stretching from Greece to Persia. At roughly the same time of the Aegean Palace fires, the Hittite Empire and Anatolia and the dynasties of Egypt were disrupted by the invasion of a mysterious foreign group called the Sea People. It's possible that foreign invaders were responsible for these collapses, but another possibility is climate change. It is known that there was an enormous volcanic eruption in the Aegean at roughly this time, and some evidence suggests that it caused a rather drastic change in climate. Several hundred years elapsed after the collapse before writing returned to the Aegean, and when it does, the scripts are not derived from those of Crete, but rather are adaptations of the Phoenician alphabet, which give us the modern Greek characters. The Aegean Bronze Age is the time of Homeric myth. Like the artifacts we find in the palace, Homeric warriors fight with bronze weapons and armor, ride chariots, and, it is even alluded, engage in human sacrifice. This is, in fact, something that Evans found evidence for. I'm going to read briefly from his biography. Evans' Knossos team found a jumbled deposit of butchered human bones, sometimes semi-articulated, gathered throughout a small house burned during the Second Palace period. Osteologists identified the remains of at least four children who were in good health at the time they were butchered. Butchered in much the same way the Minoans slaughtered their sheep and goats, suggesting they had been sacrificed and eaten. Of course, all of these cultural practices were also obsolete by the start of the classical era. In his excavations, Evans noticed that there were, in fact, several different types of scripts to be found. The oldest, found on a mixture of seals and clay tablets, consist of what Evans called Cretan hieroglyphs. To this day, this collection of inscriptions is obscure. We have no clue really anything about it at all. A slightly newer collection of writing is found on clay tablets inscribed with a stylus or reed. This is known as Linear A because it has a handwritten style. To this day, we are unable to read a single Linear A text, even though high-quality concordances exist. For instance, one was created by David Packard Jr., the heir to the H.P. Packard Bell fortune, as part of his PhD thesis. The third and newest of the scripts was somewhat more structured than the other two. It features a cleaner hand, and most tablets have nicely delimited horizontal lines. Evans was able to read the number system of this third writing system, which he called Linear B. As it happens, it's not dissimilar to the way that numbers are written in languages like modern Chinese. Evans noted that many tablets appear to have numbers on the right side, and often at the bottom is a number that is the sum of the tablet numbers on the right. Evans also correctly deduced that the remaining characters, of which there are roughly 80 or 90, were roughly syllable-sized units, like the Japanese kana systems, the katakana and hiragana. But Evans was ultimately unable to crack Linear B. He was convinced, possibly for obscure racialist reasons, that the authors of the Linear B tablets could not possibly be Greeks. It should be noted that the British ruling class had a relatively low level of respect for the Greeks of the era as well, having just replaced the Frisian Republic with an absolute monarch, a Bavarian prince, as it happens. Evans was convinced that the occupants of Knossos, throughout the various archaeological levels, were a brilliant earlier civilization, one far superior to the Greeks, whom he called the Minoans after the Homeric king Minos. In an act of self-centeredness, Evans refused to publish the text of the Linear B tablets until he himself had cracked them, which he never did. He took them to his grave in 1941, aged 90, 41 years after the tablets had first been discovered. The act of publishing the corpus fell to his various elderly colleagues. But by this point, another large cache of tablets had been discovered by the American archaeologist Carl Blagan, this time in Pylos, at the southwestern tip of the Peloponnese in Greece. Whereas the Knossos site is sometimes linked to the mythical King Minos, Blagan's excavations are linked to the mythical chieftain Nestor, once again from Homeric legend. And once again, the Nestorian palace appears to have been destroyed by fire at the end of the Aegean Bronze Age. At this point, the story continues to that of Alice Kober, born 1906 in New York City. She was the child of Jewish Hungarian immigrants and grew up on the Upper East Side, where she attended Hunter College High School. There, while she was there, she came in third prize in a citywide scholarship competition. And she was awarded $400, apparently enough for her to make tuition at Hunter College, then New York's Women's Public College. There she graduated magna cum laude in Latin. At the time, it was very difficult for Jews to get into an Ivy League school, but she managed to earn both a master's degree and then a PhD in classics from Columbia University, while supporting herself by working as an adjunct at Hunter College and translating books into Braille. By the 1930s, she was living with her mother in her house on Flatbush Avenue and working as a junior professor at the newly founded Brooklyn College, and became fascinated with Linear B. Immediately after the end of World War II, Kober received a one-year Guggenheim Fellowship to study the tablets, relieving her of her other teaching duties for a brief time. She used this extra time to publish a series of three papers, which are probably the most important steps towards the ultimate decipherment. Her method was that of essentially internal decipherment. She wished to recover evidence for the word structure, the morphology of the Linear B tablets. This has a number of possible affordances because morphological behaviors are famously well preserved across time, so they could perhaps be used to determine the language or language family of a text, even if it's not fully deciphered. And at the same time, morphological markers might help identify parts of speech, such as nouns and verbs, even in the absence of a full decipherment. Cobra's method depended on the discovery of what she called triplets. An English example should help to illustrate what a triplet is like. Consider the three pairs of words, Paris, Parisian, Parisienne. The first refers to the place, the second to a man from Paris, the third to a woman from Paris. Cobra attempted to find triplets that had this form, where there was sort of a shared candidate root, but different suffixes. One of the ones we now know to be a very close analog, it refers to amnisos, or amiso in the text, and women and men from amnisos, amnisio, amnisia. Every single one of her triplets turned out to be a genuine relationship. In each case, it refers to a place name and or people from that place. Cobra died young at the age of 43 in 1950. She was a chain smoker and is believed that she had a particularly bad form of lung cancer. Her other great sorrow is that she was seriously considered for, but ultimately not offered, position as a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. Apparently, several of the professors in the department refused to even consider applications from a young woman. She did not live to see the decipherment of Linear B, which was completed 2 years later by an amateur, a British architect named Michael Ventris. Ventris was the son of a British officer and a minor Polish noble. While he was born into some degree of wealth, his mother, the Polish noble, lost the income from her estate after Molotov-Ribbentrop and the invasion of the Nazis. But by chance, Ventris had met Sir Arthur Evans on a museum field trip as a small child, and he became entranced with the Minoan civilization and with the Linear B corpus in particular. It should be said, though, that Ventris was no traditionalist. In his day job, he designed stark brutalist buildings. But as a hobby, he had been writing to Cobra for years, so much so that she sent him food and medicine during the war, and his analyses expand on her triplets. Ventris's method is hardly method at all. He tends to make strong, not yet justified leaps of faith and then evaluate whether they have essentially any payoff. He then repeats the process with new leaps, if not so. By far, the most important leap of faith he took was allowing himself to consider the possibility that the texts were, in fact, an archaic form of Greek. At the time, this was unthinkable given Evans' arguments to the contrary, and Ventris himself had considered the possibility that Linear B might be an Etruscan, another language we know next to nothing about. But he began to entertain the idea that the Knossos archives contained Greek writing. So he began to look, for instance, for characters that could be place names using the names of Cretan towns known to us from antiquity. Another important leap of faith was his guess that two characters appearing below an ideograph of a horse spelled a word meaning foal. As it happens, most of the other pictures of horses on tablets depict horses with a rich mane. This particular horse does not have one. In fact, these two characters are read po-ro, or would be pronounced in ancient Greek as polos, which is cognate with the English word foal. These cribs were ultimately sufficient to break the rest of the system, and by 1952, Ventris was able to begin to read tablets. He announced his discovery on BBC Radio in 1952, and a bit later, he published a paper with a young historical linguist named John Chadwick in the Journal of Hellenic Studies. Not long after, late one night, he crashed his car at high speed into a parked truck and died. He was only 34. So what kind of Greek is Linear B? Insofar as the various inscriptions are all written in essentially the same language, one would say that it's a rather archaic dialect of Greek, probably closely related to the dialect of Greek we call Arcado-Cypriot. However, unlike inscriptions from the classical era, it does an extremely poor job of writing the various phonemic contrasts of the Greek language. Coda consonants are completely omitted, They're not indicated at all in the writing system. While Greek has many voicing contrasts, the only ones that are actually written in the orthography is a contrast between T's and D's. There is no disambiguation made between L and R. Both of them are written with the same series of characters. In clusters that consist of an S followed by a consonant like sta, the S is simply omitted and not indicated in the orthography. Finally, there are no ways of marking the presence of long vowels, of geminate or doubled consonants, or of the pitch accent. So there's some sense in which we can read Linear B tablets when they are relatively complete. They are full of unfamiliar proper names and titles, which we have to only guess at. We are, for instance, able to identify the names of months because they are followed by a word meaning month, mano, but we are unable to reconstruct the larger calendar. It turns out, then, that the vast majority of the tablets are essentially spreadsheets. They describe the trade and storage of various commodities, including wheat, olives, wine, sheep and goats, horses, and chariots and slaves. There are no literary texts in Linear B known to us. The most evocative tablet begins, "Thus the watchers are guarding the coast," and it proceeds to describe the distribution of guards and their commanders at various coastal locations. Were these guards part of a defense force against the sea people, whoever they were? It's hard to say. If you'd like to know more about Linear B and its decipherment, I'll include links to some books in the description. Au revoir.